In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation to the same Christ our Lord. O Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. Saint Joseph, Saint Therese, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, all God's angels and saints, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So, good evening to all of you. So, this evening we have among us one of our friends who's celebrating his 90th birthday. His name is Carlos. So, where is Carlos? I guess he disappeared. Is that Carlos? Here's Carlos. Congratulations. Congratulations. 90 years old. Congratulations. I feel young. So I thank you very much for accommodating yourself to come this evening, because obviously tomorrow would be Holy Thursday night, where we have the special liturgical celebration, so we had to anticipate this one day. So thank you for making that adjustment in your busy schedules. So it's right now we're going to have to try to cover two topics in one, because the 10th week is the week in which we talk about the resurrection, but it hasn't happened yet, okay? So I'm going to try to cover, in my conference this evening, I'm going to try to cover, in the limited time I have at my disposal, I'd like to cover the Paschal mystery. And I will, of course, culminate in the resurrection. So that will be the high point of our conversation and the high point of these exercises. And at the end, Mary will come up and explain to you how you'll be able to do your meditations in such a way that you're in harmony with the church here, because that's the way it should be. So you're going to be meditating upon biblical passages as well as my commentaries that are related to where we're at liturgically right now. So where are we liturgically? In a matter of a few hours, we enter into the very heart of the church here. The very heart and center of the church here, just in a few hours. It's called the Easter Triduum. Okay? Triduum is Latin and actually means three. So the Easter Triduum consists in 3 days, which culminates in the Solemnity of Solemnities, which is Easter. So these 3 days of the Easter Triduum would be tomorrow, Holy Thursday, then Good Friday, then Holy Saturday, and then we celebrate the Solemnity of Solemnities, which is the greatest feast day every year. We call it in English Easter, in Spanish it's called La Pascua. So I'll try to give you some basic points for reflection upon the Easter Triduum, but focus a lot upon Easter. And that's the 10th week in my program, is we celebrate Easter, which is the resurrection of Christ. So without wasting time, Holy Thursday, don't come tomorrow for morning Mass, because there's no Mass tomorrow morning, okay? In the whole world, there's no Mass in the morning. The Mass is in the evening. So if you come to morning Mass, you're not going to have the priest to celebrate the Mass, okay? Okay, Holy Thursday. Okay, the focal point of Holy Thursday, the focal point, is the Last Supper. It's the Last Supper. So each of these days, I'm going to try to give you one literary image that should trigger a lot of ideas. Okay. So it's the Last Supper. I already taught you contemplation. I already taught you the steps to do a contemplation. So you're already in the contemplative mode. Okay? Especially with the meditation, the Passion of Christ, you're really going to be meditating. You're going to be into the contemplative mode, or you're utilizing your imagination to enter into the scene. Not as a passive spectator, but as an active participant. Okay? And there's a big difference. You're a passive spectator when you go to Edward's Cinema and you're putting popcorn in your mouth, right? You're guzzling down Coca-Cola, okay? You're a passive spectator. Or in the contemplative mode, you're an active participant. You become part of it. You become part of the scene. You become part of the life of Christ. And consequently, there's a knowledge of Christ leads to love, love to following, following, imitation, imitation, transformation. That's the sequence, the dynamic of it. So by now, all of you are really, you're growing in the love for Christ, as I said in my homily, right? We're growing in our knowledge and love for Christ. But we're arriving now at the apex, okay, the zenith, the summit of the mountain, okay? We're arriving at the summit of the mountain. Okay, Holy Thursday. You're invited to the Last Supper, which is the first Mass. The Last Supper, which is the first Mass. So there's so much in that. What are some of the, St. Ignatius says, to contemplate and then to derive fruit from this. Derive fruit. Spanish would be sacar provecho, okay? To derive fruit. All right, given that there's so much, I'll give you two of the most important fruits that you should be begging for, because the exercises that we do, we're constantly in the beggar's mode, okay? And as St. Augustine says, we're all beggars before God. What does a beggar mean? It's someone that's dependent upon the charity of others. We're all beggars before God, according to St. Augustine. So we're going to be begging for special graces. It often happens that we don't receive is because we don't ask. We don't ask, we're not going to receive. So all of us should be a Matthew 7:7 person. Are you a Matthew 7:7 person? You're going to say, I don't know what that is, Father. I'm not a Protestant, right? You know your scripture. Ask and you will. Seek and you will. Knock and the door will be. Whoever asks, whoever seeks, whoever knocks. You, half of you know that biblical verse, about half of you, right? So we want to be asking, we want to be seeking, we want to be begging for these graces. So the first grace is that Jesus is there at the Last Supper. He is instituting two sacraments. Okay? He's instituting two sacraments at the Last Supper. And one depends upon the other. We're going to see the juxtaposition or the relationship between these two sacraments. And these two sacraments would be holy orders, okay, and the Eucharist. As the Curie of Ars, John Vianney, said, no priest, no consecration. No consecration, no Jesus. No Jesus, we're all spiritual orphans, right? So you should all be meditating upon the whole reality of the priesthood. And if you do see a priest tomorrow, I hope you will, you should say to the priest, Happy Feast Day. Okay? Amen? Because Holy Orders is when I was born in the heart of Christ. I was born in the heart of Christ 2,000 years ago when He celebrated the Last Supper and He instituted the priesthood. So Christ was thinking about me. It's very humbling to say that because I'm the humble servant of the Lord. But He was thinking about me 2,000 years ago. So you want to be praying for future priests, praying for priests, supporting priests, encouraging priests. Last night I had a beautiful experience. I was in another parish, not too far away from this, in Baldwin Park, okay? Baldwin Park. And I'm giving the spiritual exercises in Spanish. And there in that parish, we've got a little bit shy of 400. We get a lot of people there. No? And as I started my conference yesterday, I thanked the pastor there, Father Ismael. And I thanked him for inviting me, and I thanked him for all the wonderful work. The people got up, and they applauded for about a minute. And I was moved. I was applauding too. I was moved. I was almost moved to tears to see how much those people love their pastor. And I was with the flame, I was with gasoline, I was igniting it all the more, no? So pray for your priests. Love your priests. Encourage your priests. Try to avoid criticizing your priests. Okay? Don't be in the chismosa sacerdotal, okay? When you have some problem with your priest, you don't agree, don't criticize him with your friend, but talk to him privately. You hear me? Because by criticizing, you're damaging yourself, you're damaging the people, the other chismosas that you're talking to, you're damaging the priest, and you're damaging the church. No, nothing good's going to come out of that. You hear me? We all make mistakes. But you, my friends, you are at the mercy of your priests. I have to say that. You hear me? St. Vincent de Paul, you ever hear of him? Greatest grace any parish can have is to have a saintly pastor. St. Vincent de Paul. That was a great priest. And pray, my friends, that we get more priests. The harvest is rich. The laborers are few. And it could be among you people here that your son or maybe your grandson is called to be a priest. You hear me? Your son, your grandson might be called to be a priest. Did you know that many young men have decided to become a priest because of my spiritual exercises program? Did you know that? Yeah. St. John? Yeah. Yeah. St. John's Seminary in Camarillo, some of those young men, they've gone through the spiritual exercises program. The oblate priests there in Boston, their oblates, two of them, they've gone through the spirit. And I'm not tooting my horn, but I'm saying this. How is a young man going to discover his vocation if he never stops to think? These exercises make us stop to think. To think and to meditate upon the purpose of our existence. It's true, it's the oblate charism giving Ignatian retreats, but my friend, Ignatian spirituality works, doesn't it? Hello? Ignatian spirituality is the most demanding spirituality you've ever come in contact with, right? Yes, Father. But it works, right? It works for you to become holy. By the way, in my Mass, I was praying that all of you will become great saints. What? Okay. That was my prayer when I was giving my Thanksgiving, that all these people become great saints. Say, thank you, Father. You're welcome, okay? So Holy Thursday, if you do not have a prayer or an understanding of the priesthood on Holy Thursday, your liturgical formation is very mediocre. It is. It's very mediocre. Don't get angry at me, but it's very mediocre. If you don't think about the priesthood, tomorrow there's something wrong with your moral liturgical formation. You know, people will come up to me and say, Father, on Holy Thursday and Good Friday, I fast. Not me. Good Friday, yep. Good Friday. Holy Thursday, yeah, no. Give me a really good lasagna. Give me a vino tinto de Jalisco. Yeah. And give me a tiramisu. Yeah. From Olive Garden, huh? Oh, no. Tomorrow. Are you kidding? I'm going to have a nice lunch. Tomorrow is almost like Easter. No one understands it. I do. Why? Because it's like an anticipation of Easter. Why? We're commemorating the priesthood. Commemorating the Eucharist. Go ahead, eat a piece of dry bread if you want, but I'm not going to join you, okay? Tomorrow's fiesta. And you should go up to your priest, smile at him and say, "Father, happy feast day, I'm praying for you." Are you taking notes or not? You have a photographic memory, but it hasn't been developed yet, right? Okay. And my friends, you probably have someone in your family that's called to become a priest. You probably do. A group like this. People that are praying, you're offering up sacrifice, you're meditating, you offer up masses. There's probably vocations here in your family. So let's pray that that would become a reality. And I'm keenly aware of the power of the priesthood, which humbles me. Also of my human fragility. As I said, you heard my homily, right? Were you listening? Hey, that Judas could be Father Broom, but it could be you too. You heard my homily, right? That could be me. But it could be you too. That's why we walk humbly before the face of God. Walk humbly before the face of God. Do not presume on your own strength. That's the fall of Peter, presumption. Do not presume on your own strength. Have any of you ever read the life of Saint Faustina? Okay? Any of you read the diary? I did more than once, so I know it pretty well. Do you remember the passage where she says, "Lord, I'm going to overcome my basic, my kryptonite, my basic weakness"? Remember that passage? At the end of the day, she fell 7 times more into it. 7 times more. And Jesus appeared to her, and she said, "Lord, why did I fall?" And Jesus said, "Because you relied upon yourself and not on me." Hear me? We will fall flat on our face if we rely upon ourselves. But if we rely upon God, like the movie Little Boy, Chapadito, okay? We'll be able to move the mountains. Right? See the movie Little Boy. If we rely upon God, we can move the highest mountains. Because it's not us, it's God that does the work. So move from the priesthood to love for the Eucharist. Do you people love the Eucharist? Más o menos? Poco? So let me tell you another story, and then we'll move into Good Friday. By now, you know that I have a great love for Fulton Sheen, right? By now you know that, okay? His writings, his preachings, and I said I had the privilege of meeting him in person. He died in 1979. On the feast day of Juan Diego, which is December 9th, he died in front of the Blessed Sacrament, making his last holy hour. What do you think about that? He lived in Manhattan, not the Manhattan Beach here, the real Manhattan, yeah? he, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, he made his last holy, and he died on December 9th, the feast day, the day after Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. If you ever want to do a good reading, you like to read, Treasures in Clay. Have you read it? Yes, I have. It's his autobiography. Once you start to read it, his writings are good, but of all of his writings, that's my favorite. I mean, it's just story after story, and he's got that Irish wit. I mean, he's so cultured, so refined, but he's funny. Any teachers here? Okay, teachers, so am I. The art of teaching depends on storytelling. You hear me? We have to give a seminar to teachers today, huh? The art of teaching is knowing how, when, where, how. Storytelling and timing, okay? Timing. Okay? You've noticed I've been with you 10 weeks. How many stories have I told you? Tons, right? Tons of stories. Personal anecdotes. Here's the life of a saint. Here's from the life of this person. In Treasures in Clay, do any of you know what the propagation of faith is? Okay, the propagation of faith, the name has changed since, but that was a missionary, branch in the whole church. Fulton Sheen, not only was he on TV and radio and wrote more than 60 books, he was chosen by Pope Paul VI to be head of the missionary work of the whole world. And I don't think Paul VI could have chosen a better person than him. I don't think he could have chosen anyone better than him. So, in the chapter on his missionary activity, he's got story after story after story after story. And I'll tell you my favorite. He's in Africa. And in Africa, I don't remember the country. I think it was the Congo or Ghana, but a very poor country in Africa. By the way, where is the Catholic Church growing most now? In Africa. Even though Boko Haram and the persecution, that's where it's growing most. The church grows during persecution. So he's there, and there's a little chapel where he celebrates Mass, and someone tells him, a couple miles away, there's a poor woman that wants to receive communion, but she can't make it easily to church. So Sheen says, okay. And he gets on a bike, and the dirt road, this archbishop is driving his bike off to this little shanty, this little hut. And it's a leper woman, a leper. And the leprosy had eaten away her hands, her arms, and her feet. So a good part of her body was devoured by leprosy. So Fulton Sheen goes to her house and gives her Holy Communion. And he says, okay, tomorrow after Mass, my Mass will be at 12 noon, I'll get on my bike and I'll meet you and I'll bring your communion again. Following day, guess what? At 12 noon, the woman is there at the Mass. How did she arrive? Hey, no car, no bike. She basically dragged herself. She rolled in the dirt and the sand all the way those 2 miles from her house to the chapel. With cuts and bruises and dirt. How did you get here? Hello? Car. Does your car have air conditioning? Were you listening to the Beatles or some nice music, huh? And you're complaining because the driver cut you off, right? I love that story. Why did that woman roll 2 miles in the dirt, in the sand? Why did she do it? Because she believed in the Eucharist. We tend to be spoiled because everything is easy. If you were a leper and you had to do that to arrive at the church, you would appreciate Mass and Holy Communion so much. Right? We take things for granted. Here's an English question for you. What's the antonym or the opposite of love? I would say indifference. I would say indifference. If you invite me to your house to have a meal and you fight with me, it hurts, I've got feelings. But you put me in the garage with your pet parakeet Pete the whole time, okay? And you ignore me, that's more painful. Because if you argue with me, what? You recognize my existence as a human person. So one of the greatest sufferings of Christ in the Mass and the Eucharist is that people take Him for granted. Yes? Hey, when I was a little kid, growing up in New York, I'm a New Yorker. You ever talk with a New Yorker or a guy from New Jersey? This is the way New Yorker speaks. You ever hear the story of the New Yorker? The little boy was in the class with a nun in New York City. And the little boy said, "Sister, sister, look at the void. Look at the void in the tree up there. Look at the void." And sister said, "Jimmy, that's not a void. That's a bird." "It certainly chirps like a void." Indifference toward the Eucharist. As a kid, 80% would go to Mass on Sunday. What about now? 80% don't go to church on Sunday. This is two generations. Two generations. It's two generations, you know? Generation 25 years, more or less. What on earth has happened? Why has this happened? Well, I'll say something that maybe you've never heard before. It's because of John chapter 6. It's because we've had 50, 60 years where people have not been taught what the Eucharist is. Amen? People have not been taught what the Eucharist is. This is called a Catholic identity crisis. It is. It's called a Catholic identity crisis. Did you know most Jehovah's Witnesses used to be Catholics? Do you know that? Most Mormons used to be Catholics. What on earth has happened in these past 50 years? What on earth has happened? What would happen if everyone had the faith of this leper woman that rolled 2 miles in the dirt and the sand? What would happen if all Catholics were like that leper woman? All the churches in LA would have to be torn down, and they'd have to be a Joel Osteen church, the mega church of Houston, Texas, huh? We'd have to have the mega churches. We'd have to have the mega church. So the biggest problem in the church, I believe, today is that Catholics have forgotten or not been educated as to what the Eucharist is. Amen? Many of you people come to daily Mass, right? True? And many of you people, you come to daily Mass because you believe, right? And you can't live without the Eucharist. What you should propose from these exercises, every month, to bring back someone to the church. What is the biggest religious group in this country? Non-practicing Catholics. You hear me? Non-practicing Catholics is the biggest religious group in this country. Bring them back. If you're on fire with the love of the Eucharist, give them light and give them fire for the Eucharist too. Bring someone back to confession and then bring them back to you to the Eucharist for Easter. All of you have to do that, at least one. Amen? And I will probably ask you, did you bring that person back? And don't avoid me. Eh? Bring them back. Bring them back. If you really love Christ, you should love what Christ loves. He loves the salvation of souls. How are we going to be saved? John 6. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. My friends, communion is not an option. Communion is a necessity. You want to be saved? You have to receive the Eucharist. Jesus is very clear in John chapter 6. He doesn't beat around the bush, okay? He says very clearly, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. Very clear. If you don't believe me, read John chapter 6. That, my friends, is Holy Thursday. It's the priesthood. And it is the Eucharist. Your son or your grandson that's reflecting upon a vocation, if he really believes that that piece of bread is turned into Jesus Christ, the Son of God, young men would believe that, the seminaries would be packed. They'd be packed. People come to me, they complain about the church. They suffer from complainitis. They're always complaining, you know? They do. They complain to me about the church. You know what I say? No matter what's happening in the church, if you believe in the Eucharist, that's enough to stay in the church. Amen? No matter what's happening. If you believe in the Eucharist, that's enough to stay in the church. Irrespective of the failure of the ministers. If you focus upon the ministers, you're going to see a lot of flaws. But if you focus upon Jesus, you're looking at the Son of God. That should be enough. That should be enough. So if you believe in the Eucharist, tomorrow your love for the Eucharist should skyrocket. Okay? Imagine one of those jets going to the moon, skyrocket. Not just skyrocket tomorrow. La Montaña Rusa, Magic Mountain, you should go way up, okay? Okay, what about Good Friday? So Holy Thursday, you focus upon the Last Supper. What happened there? Good Friday, you focus upon the cross. You focus upon the cross. If you have time and courage, try to view the movie of Mel Gibson. Okay? The movie Mel Gibson. So much that can be said about Good Friday, but one idea. As Jesus hangs upon the cross, meditate and contemplate upon Jesus on the cross and his seven last words. Fulton Sheen wrote a masterpiece on that, and he preached on that in the New Yorkers here in St. Agatha in Manhattan for many years. St. Agatha is a very prestigious church downtown Manhattan, and he preached there for many, many years. You could even Google in Seven Last Words of Christ by Fulton Sheen and listen to it, an audio version of what he said. And if there's any biblical verses that I would encourage you to memorize, how's your memory? To memorize the seven last words of Christ. Memorize them. First word. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, that's why we start the Novena of Divine Mercy on Good Friday. Did you know that? The Divine Mercy Novena begins on Good Friday. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing, is mercy. What is mercy? It's the love of God forgiving the sinner. John Paul II said it's another name for love, is mercy. Some of you know a little bit of Spanish, misericordia. You know a little bit of Spanish? Misericordia, if you know English well, it's a compound word. Misericordia. Miseria means our moral misery. Cordia means heart. The heart of God encounters the misery of the human person. That's what the word misericordia means in Latin. And it's the prodigal son being embraced by the father. That's what mercy is. And Jesus said, the shortest, subject and predicate, right? I thirst. Short sentence, huh? Two words. But it's jam-packed with meaning. I thirst. I love Augustine. I'm always quoting St. Augustine and Sheen, right? Augustine. Augustine says, Jesus thirsts that we thirst for Him. Jesus hungers that we hunger for Him. St. Augustine, quoted in the Catechism of the Catholic Church on the fourth part on prayer. Jesus hungers that we hunger for Him. He thirsts that we thirst for Him. Don't you think that refers to the Eucharist? Hello? How about the Word of God in your meditation? You're hungering to be faithful to your daily holy hour. Amen or oh me? Amen, right? And Jesus says, Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. What does that mean? I mean, you heard these words. Now is the time to plumb the depths. Means this. All of us have two mothers. Some of our mothers maybe have passed away. I happen to have... Our friend here is 90. My mom turned 91. Okay, but we all have two mothers. Our earthly mother and our heavenly mother. Do we have any mothers here? Do you love your children? Mucho o poco? Poco. Poco. Depends on the day, right? Listen to Augustine now. Are you listening? Put all the love of all the mothers of all time, of all places together, all the love of all the mothers from the beginning of time together. It's a lot of love, isn't it? The love that the Blessed Virgin Mary has for you is much greater. Pull out your handkerchiefs now, huh? Huh? That doesn't move you, nothing is, no? All the love of all the mothers of all time, Mary's love for you is much greater. That's not hyperbole, huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's what that phrase means. Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. Jesus gave his mother to John, and John is us. John is us. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. How's your Aramaic? My God, why have you forsaken me? What does that mean? That's the most mysterious. It's kind of an enigma. Kind of enigmatic, isn't it? This is a Carmelite parish. Okay, that's called the Dark Night of the Soul. You've heard of the Dark Night of the Soul. That's the Dark Night of the Soul that Jesus went through. And it means for us, when we're going through the Dark Night of the Soul, don't abandon prayer, but pray even more fervently, and you'll get through it. You hear me? Going through the dark night? The temptations, throw in the towel and you give up. No, pray all the more fervently. You'll get through the dark tunnel. And Jesus turns to the thief, to the good thief. And he says to him, Amen, I say to you today, you'll be with me in paradise. And as Fulton Sheen says, and he died a thief because he stole heaven. Died a thief because he stole heaven. And it means there's always hope For even the person that seemed to be the worst person in the world, there's always hope until the last second. You people want to help to bring people to heaven, do you? Do you? Yesterday was a very busy day, as always. I said Mass, I was hearing tons of confessions. This lady comes to me, "Father, my son's dying. My son's dying." So, leave the parish, get in my car. I go to his house, still conscious. I give him the anointing of the sick. I give him Holy Communion. I say to his mother, "Do what he is. Kneel down." And we pray the chaplet of divine mercy. Amen? You pray the chaplet of divine mercy when someone's dying? Do you believe it? Even if the person is a communist atheist. Yeah. How do you interpret that? I'll give my interpretation. You pray that, the worst person in the world, you're praying the chaplet of divine mercy. When you pray that, Jesus is showing his wounds to the Father, his hands, his feet, and his open heart. God the Father is looking at that sinner through the hands, the feet, and the open heart of Christ. And God the Father cannot resist the love of his Son. That's my interpretation. So all of you, when people are dying, do all you possibly can. Personally, I like it when someone tells me someone is dying. Not that the person is dying, but that I can help the person to get to heaven. Oh yeah, I'm very aggressive in that. I'll go there. He's unconscious, pray the chaplet of divine mercy. He's going to get that person to heaven. That's a promise of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's a promise. So this group here, I really believe you're going to be instrumental. This group right now, you're going to be instrumental in bringing thousands of souls to heaven because of what I'm teaching you tonight. I really believe it. Amen? You're going to say, "Well, you know, my father, mi abuelita, muriendo in Guadalajara." Well, pray for her. Pray for her here. She's dying in Guadalajara. You pray here. God doesn't care about distance. You got me? My friends, we want to bring millions and millions and millions of people to heaven. Amen? When I say Mass, I'll often say, "Lord, I pray that this Mass will bring a million people to heaven." You know what I hear? "Why are you asking for so little?" That's called a locution, I hear. "Why are you asking for so..." "Sorry, Lord, I'll ask for more." And the Lord says, "Yes. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open." Ask. With bold confidence. Jesus is heard because we ask for so little. Say you were going to have dinner at Bill Gates, and he says, "Whatever you ask for, I'll give you triple." "Okay, Mr. Bill Gates, could you please give me a piece of bubble gum and two cents? You know, that's stupid. Ask him for $3 billion. Ask him for that. Who has more money, God or Bill Gates? Are you sure about that? Empty the wallet of God, okay? Try to empty it. The more you try to empty the wallet of God, the more the green bills grow with numbers, huh? So there are two other words, it, into your hands I commend my spirit. We're begging God to give us the grace of a holy death. It is finished. You're praying for the grace of perseverance. Holy Saturday, my friends, the best way to understand Holy Saturday is, in Spanish, it's this. Some of you speak Spanish, La Soledad de María. How do we translate that one into English? La Soledad de María. Basically, Our Lady of Sorrows. That's the purpose of Holy Saturday, is to relive the Passion of Christ through the eyes and the heart of Mary. Many of you are thinking, Holy Saturday, that's just, you know, coloring Easter eggs. Okay. Go ahead, color your Easter eggs if you want. That's what most people think. It's coloring Easter day, Easter eggs. Who cares about Easter eggs? Rather, it's reliving the Passion of Christ through the eyes and heart of Mary. Amen? Okay, then, our 10th week, we celebrate Easter, which is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is the grace you're going to be begging for? Ignatius of Loyola says, this is the grace we should be begging for. Once again, I'll give it in Espanol. Intensísimo gozo. You know English well, it's called this isimo, it's called the superlative in grammar, okay? Isimo. Intensísimo. What does that mean? The most intense. Gozo, joy. That's what you're begging for. You're not begging for a thimble of joy, you're begging for an ocean of joy. Like, not a thimble. You women have those little thimbles, huh? When you're threading? Throw the thimble away, no? You're asking for an ocean. You've got the Pacific Ocean, right? I was brought up and raised on with the Atlantic Ocean, okay? So you've got an ocean, a whole ocean of joy. But where does the joy come from? I finished writing another blog article 4 hours ago. And I started off my blog article quoting a biblical verse. And it's the letter of St. Paul to the Filipinos. Did I mispronounce it? I guess it's the Philippians, right? Fulton Sheen said he heard a woman get up, do the reading. He said, the letter of St. Paul to the theologians. Thessalonians, right? I've done so many weddings that they come out of my ears, no? Sometimes 25 in one day, no? A group wedding. That's why the Mexicans like it, huh? To hide behind each other, huh? This lady was breathing. St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, the hymn of love. And she reads not limosna, she reads limousina. I was just mad. Not limosna, limousina. Limosna, if you don't know Spanish, means almsgiving, right? Every time someone gets up there to read, I know English Spanish pretty well. I'm bracing myself. What are they going to say now? He's like finger in the chalkboard. And I'm just smiling. It's tough if you know languages pretty well. So we're going to be begging for intensissimo gozo, most intense joy. Philippians 4:4, he says, St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. So any type of rejoicing that's not in the Lord is it's a pseudo or a false joy. If it's not in the Lord, it's a lie. It's ephemeral, it's transitory, it's like the foam on the top of a beer. Okay? There's no substance. It's like nursing yourself on cotton candy. You're not going to get anywhere there. Joy, true joy, it comes from God. I'm going to be giving a course on the Acts of the Apostles. I'm speaking a lot about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Very few people really understand the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. What does Thomas Aquinas say? If you're living out the gifts, you experience the fruits. Thomas Aquinas. And that's interior sweetness you experience in your soul. That's the angelic doctor, Thomas Aquinas. So you're going to be begging for joy. My friends, we should beg for joy because we live in a world filled with despair and sadness, right? Hello? We're surrounded by people that are despairing, they're sad, they're angry, they're depressed, they're chismosas. No. They are. We're surrounded by 90% of people are sad, they're depressed, they're angry, they're bitter, they're cantankerous, they are, because they don't have God. Because they don't have God. And they confuse pleasure with joy. Right? They confuse pleasure with joy. Now I'm going to scandalize you, but the Beatles used to sing, "Money can't buy me love." I mean, I agree with that, Paul McCartney. Money can't buy me love. I mean, money can buy you pleasure, huh? Hello? Money can buy you pleasure. Drinking. Drugs. Someone could pick up a hooker. Excuse my English. I mean, you can buy pleasure. You can. But joy is what it's a fruit that all of you, I think, are experiencing in the spiritual exercise. Knowing that God has forgiven you, that God loves you, that God is always with you until the end of time. Amen. Try to beg for joy. Now, when I go to hospitals or people that are suffering in nursing homes or hospitals, one thing I try to avoid, never do this. I heard that you're in a bad condition, you really look worse. Don't do that. I thought you're bad, but you look 10 times worse than I thought. See you later. No. pray, smile, are you listening? And tell a joke. Tell a joke. You can use one of mine, okay? Writer's permission. You can use one of mine. Tell a joke. You'd be surprised. Person suffering there in that nursing home, you come in with a smile, you say the Hail Mary, you pray part of the rosary, you tell a funny story, and the person's happy for 2 days. Hello? No, it works. You're bringing joy to that person. You are. When I was at Villanova, they chose me to the head of the pro-life group at Villanova, the special projects group, in which we would go to nursing homes and we'd visit the poor, abandoned people there on the main line. That would be here, your Californians, that's the Beverly Hills area of Philadelphia, the main line. People came from millionaire families, old ladies abandoned by their family. You hear me? Millionaire families. Bryn Mawr, Rosemont, Villanova, it's a rich area. Abandoned by their families. So we would go in there, we would play the guitar, we'd sing, tell jokes, and they loved it. That's what we're begging for, is joy. Is joy. And one of the best ways to grow in joy is to share your joy with others. Amen? Pray to St. Philip Neri. Pray to him. I've got his relic in my room. You know what he would say? Here's another one-liner in Spanish. Tristeza y melancolía fuera de casa mía. You like that? Tristeza y melancolía fuera de casa mía. Now, it's poetic in Spanish and Italian, but in English is sadness and being a melancholy person, get that out of my house. But your joy comes from the Lord. Your joy comes from the Lord. Okay, there's really so much that can be said on this topic. When I give this presentation, usually what I try to do is pull out one Easter or resurrection story. By the way, the first person that Jesus appeared to was his blessed mother. Did you hear me? Obviously, if you're Protestants, you'd put up your dukes and you'd go after me. Okay? Ignatius says, are you without understanding? Of course he appeared to his Blessed Mother first. Of course. I mean, it's not in the Bible. But Catholic tradition has maintained for hundreds of years he first appeared to Mary. She's the only one that didn't doubt. Who suffered most after Jesus? His Blessed Mother, right? But who experienced the greatest joy after Jesus? By far. By far. So if you go with Mary, you will experience the suffering of Jesus Christ. But also you experience the great overflowing joy that comes from the heart of Mary. Amen? So, I would invite all of you to beg fervently for that grace. The grace which would be in intense joy for this reason. That Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead, and as a result of that, he opened up the gates to heaven. And all of us one day, my friends, we hope and trust that we will be in heaven to praise the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, with the angels and saints for all eternity. Amen? That's the whole thrust of these exercises. That's the whole thrust of Princemont Foundation. The full blossoming of Princemont Foundation is this 10th week, which is related to heaven. And that's why we're here. We're here to go to heaven, to be with God for all eternity. Amen. So I invite all of you to come to our course May 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. It'll be Mass at 6, class. We'll have a short sharing session, and it'll be all the Tuesdays in May, starting with the May 5th all the way to the 26th. So I'd like to say a Hail Mary that all of us will be very generous in these exercises until the very end, okay? To run the good run, to fight the good fight until the very end. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now Mary's going to, just see it for 1 minute, Mary's going to explain how it's, can you come, Mary? So that there's not going to be any confusion in your meditations.